Sahabala,
Sahabala,
together with Balaram,
Srak,
a flower garland, Avatamsa, of the ornament on his head, Vilasa, playfully wearing, Sanushu, on the sides. Shiti Britta of a mountain. Brajadevya, O goddesses of Vrindavan. Gopis. Pashayam, creating joy. Yahi, when. Venu, of his flute. Ravena, by the resounding vibration. Jata Harsha,
becoming joyful.
Uparampati, causes to relish. Vishwam, the entire world. Translation by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. O goddesses of Braj, when Krishna is enjoying himself with Balaram on the mountain slopes, playfully wearing a flower garland on top of his head, he engladdens all with the resonant vibrations of his flute. Thus he delights the entire world. At that time, the nearby cloud, afraid of offending a great personality, thunders very gently in accompaniment. The cloud showers flowers unto his dear friend Krishna and shades him from the sun like an umbrella. Translation responsibly. O goddesses of Braj, when Krishna is enjoying himself with Balaram on the mountain slopes, playfully wearing a flower garland on the top of his head, he engladdens all with the resonant vibrations of his flute. When he is thus he delights the entire world. At that time, the nearby cloud, afraid of offending a great personality, thunders very gently in accompaniment. The cloud showers flowers unto his dear friend Krishna and shades him from the sun like an umbrella. Om Gyan Timanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhatantikam. Vancha kalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we see here, this is a Maha Mahotsava, means a great festival for the senses. Just like a few weeks ago we had Janmashtami. So you see, when it is Janmashtami, when it's Krishna's birthday, that is the most important day of the year for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because more people come to Mangaladi than any other day of the year. Okay. And we see that there's no comparison to the festivity. There's no comparison to the amount of preparation and work that everyone puts into pleasing Krishna on that day. There's no comparison to the amount of offerings which were made to the deities on that day. We offered 150 items on the Raj Bhog plate alone. You don't see that on the other days of the year. Right? But in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, it's like that every day. It's not that everyone becomes excessively, well, they do. I mean, they become excessively happy when it's Janmashtami, because Janmashtami happens in the spiritual world also. They have Janmashtami, they say today is Krishna's appearance day, although Krishna never actually appears in the spiritual world, he's always been there. But whenever it is Janmashtami, then they have a big festival, and everyone becomes even more ecstatic. But the point is that every day in the spiritual world is a Mahotsava, right? It's an ecstatic festival, like that. And Krishna is always in the mood of enjoying an ecstatic festival. And he dresses appropriately for the occasion every day. Right? Just like the men, we don't dress so colourfully, but the Mataji's, they dress more colourfully, being their nature. So they wear saris, you know. But on a festival day, then it becomes very auspicious. And the Mataji's put in more effort to look even more attractive for Krishna. So therefore they wear special silken saris with beautiful colours, and they'll decorate their hair with flowers and paint gopi dots on the faces. Right? This is permissible because this is for Krishna's pleasure on a festival day. But in the spiritual world it's like that every day. It's not something they do occasionally, but it's every day it's like that. Krishna wears very beautiful attire every day. He wears the most amazing garlands every day. He dresses in the most beautiful silk every day. And so does everyone else. Right? So it's just a constant festival which is going on. And Krishna is the, he is called Rasa Raj, or Rasa Rasika, or Rasika Shekha, which means he is just churning the ocean of ras, just increasing it and increasing it and increasing it for everyone, making it more and more festive and more blissful for everyone. So he increases this in every way. So here it is described that he's on the side of the mountain. So this could be Govardhan Hill. There are many mountains in Vrindavan. But you'll see, if you look at Braj, as a lotus flower, if you look at the Vrindavan, the greater Vrindavan, or Braj, the 12 forests, you'll see right in the middle, because Braj is flat. Right, it's perfectly flat. The land is just flat. It's not hilly or slopy like that, but everything is very flat. And then you'll see right in the middle of Braj, of Vrindavan, there's this huge mountain. And it's said to be like a tilak mark on the face of Braj, like that. And that hill is called Govardhana. Right? And that is the most ecstatic place of Krishna's pastimes. That is the favourite place for Krishna and for all of Krishna's devotees. Rupa Goswami describes in the Nectar of Instruction, the Upadeshamrita, he says, even more wonderful than Vrindavan is, even more wonderful than Vaikuntha is Mathura, because Krishna appeared there. Even more wonderful than Mathura is Vrindavan, because Krishna performed Rasa Lila there. Even more wonderful than Vrindavan is Govardhan, because Krishna has even sweeter or more intimate pastimes at Govardhan than he does even in what we would call Vrindavan. And then even more exalted, or considered even more nectarian in terms of the pastimes which take place, are the pastimes which take place at Radha Kund, which is on the very end of Govardhan Hill. Radha Kund is also considered to be part of Govardhan Hill. It's described, the Govardhan Hill is in the shape of a peacock. And it says that Radha Kund and Shama Kund are the two eyes of the peacock. So they're factually a part of Govardhan Hill. And Giriraj, Govardhan, he is Haridasya Varya, which means that he is the greatest devotee of Krishna. He's Krishna, he's an incarnation of Krishna, but simultaneously he's also the greatest devotee of Krishna. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right, he is Krishna, but he's also the greatest devotee of Krishna simultaneously. So Giriraj, he finishes where he comes down, and then where he finishes, where the mountain finishes and becomes low, right at that place is where Radhakund and Shamakunda, right at the very end of Govardhan. And it says that Giriraj, because he is the greatest devotee of Krishna, he is like kneeling there, and he's just looking through the trees, and he's watching the pastimes that take place in Radhakund and Shamakunda. And he's feeling ecstasy. The trees on the mountain, which are like his hairs, are standing up in ecstasy, beholding the pastimes which go on at Radhakund and Shamakund. So he is also enjoying those things. So here it is said that Krishna and Balaram are on the side of a mountain. So we would take it, more than likely, it's referring to Govardhan Hill. Although, because Braj is flat, and in the centre there's Govardhan, but then if you go to the outskirts of Vrindavan, there's also mountainous areas like that. And described in those mountainous areas, there are like Aboriginal tribes. They live in the forest. They don't live in the village like the other residents of Braj or Vrindavan. They live in the... But they're also pure devotees of Krishna. And they have goats. They herd goats. Krishna herds cows, but they herd goats. They live more in the forest area or in the mountainous area on the outskirts of Braj. And they come in to Vrindavan and they have pastimes with Krishna in Vrindavan also. They come and meet him in the forest and watch him in the forest also. If you go on Braj Mandal Parikram out in the western portion of Braj, there's one place called Badrinath in Kedarnath, and it goes towards Rajasthan, and out in that portion of Braj you have to walk a long way. It's like many kilometres away from like Govardhan. Out in that portion it's hilly, it becomes a little mountainous. And we went there and on Braj Mandal Parikram, and you're walking and walking and walking, and then everything suddenly becomes very arid because you're going towards Rajasthan, which is desert, like that. So everything becomes very arid, and then you walk towards the hill, and you go up on the hill. It's not a huge hill, but you walk up on the hill, and then when you get to the top, you see there's a beautiful valley, and you can't get to the valley by vehicle. There's no roads going into the valley. You can only walk in or out of the valley. It's very rocky there. And the valley is very beautiful. When you look down into the valley, there's many kadamba trees, very beautiful trees, which are there, and it's a very untouched, very sacred place. It's Jagannath Balabha Prabhu's favourite place. He's done Braj Mandal Parikram 6 or 7 times. It's a very beautiful place, and it's said to be the original Badrinath. In the Himalayas, you have Badrinath and Kedarnath, which are very famous places. Srila Vyasadeva actually lives in Badrinath. And they're very famous places, and pilgrims go there. Although the ones in the Himalayas, you can't go there most of the year because it's so much snow. Around about April, the snow begins to melt, and then you can actually go there from April till maybe towards September, October. And then for 6 months of the year, it's snowed, so you can't actually get in there. But the original Badrinath and the original Kedarnath, right, are in Braj, because it says that 33 million holy places, which are all around the universe, different sacred lakes and sacred rivers and holy spots, they're actually all originally in Braj, in Vrindavan. And their prototypes, or the expansions, are outside of Vrindavan, like that. So when you go to Braj Mandal Parikram, you go to Kedarnath, you go to Badrinath, you go to the Triveni, you go to so many different places which are mentioned in the scriptures, which are all contained in Braj. And they're even more powerful than the places outside of Braj, because they're in Vrindavan, they're in the original Goloka atmosphere. So when you go, if you do Braj Mandal Parikram, which will take 1 month, devotees, Lokanath Swami and the devotees go around in Kartik time. If you do that, then you get the benefit of visiting every holy place in the universe. 33 million holy places, right? Which is kind of an incentive to go, even though your feet are hurting and you're, you know, stubbing your toes every day, and prasadam is late some days, and then the truck breaks down and your bags don't come to 8 o'clock at night. You know, you have to take bath at one pump with 100 devotees with buckets, and there's mosquitoes and like that. But it all becomes worthwhile when you just keep meditating on the fact that this is, I'm getting the benefit of visiting every holy place within the universe. So it's a very auspicious activity. And you get to go to all 12 forests where Krishna and Balaram performed all their pastimes, all the 12 forests of Vrindavan. You see very amazing pastime places which are there. So it is mentioned here, it is like a great festival. Every day in the spiritual world is like a great festival. And now Krishna is on the side of the mountain, and he's playing his flute, and Balaram is there, and he is wrapping flower garlands in his turban. Right? So he wears a beautiful turban, describes the nectar of devotion, that his turban is a copperish colour, like a copperish, like an orangey, coppery type of colour. So he wears his turban, and then he very artfully and tastefully and masterfully wraps flower garlands within his turban like that, places his peacock feathers just perfectly and so forth. This is just every day, right? This is just to go and herd the cows, right? Right? You can imagine if we go to Crossways like that. You know, we put on our turbans, right? Fix up all our flower garlands like that within our hair. Mataji's put all the gopi dots on, right? Like that. Everything is like that. And then in that festive mood, then we go to Crossways. Right? That is the mood in the spiritual world. That's the way Krishna creates it in the spiritual world. That's why it says that every word is a song and every step is a dance. Right? No one's moping around, right? No one's upset and yelling at each other, right? Every word is a song, right? Everything's very sweet there, and every step is a dance, right? Krishna is in a festive mood and he just enjoys, simply enjoyment. That is the nature of Goloka Vrindavan. It is Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means no anxiety whatsoever. It's a very funny occurrence, a very interesting occurrence. Purujan Prabhu was describing this a few years ago when he was here. He was saying the nature of the material world is so peculiar, or so strange, that we become attached to this material world, even though we are spirit by nature. Right? We are spiritual by nature, and we belong in the Daivi Prakriti, or the internal energy of Krishna. Right? We can only be satisfied when we're situated in the internal energy of Krishna. And in fact, we are internal energy of Krishna. We're not material. We're not the Bahiranga Shakti or the external energy. But when we come in contact, as Krishna describes in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the nature of the jiva is sometimes he's known as Shara. Shara means he has the propensity to fall down. So although we are spiritual, and although we belong in the spiritual world, sometimes we fall into the material atmosphere. And the potency of Krishna's Maha Maya is so powerful. Daivi Hyesha Gunamaya Mama Maya Durachaya. Right? It is such a powerful energy that it makes it very difficult for us to escape it. Because it is Krishna's illusion. Right? It is created by Krishna. Mama Maya Durachaya. It is my energy. So it is such a powerful energy that we become conditioned to it and we become attached to it. Although Krishna describes in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita and the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the soul actually has no connection to it, right? We don't actually have any connection between our soul and the material energy, right? We're not actually connected to it. It's all because of false ego or ahankara, which is like the it's like the connecting point between matter and spirit, that we actually identify with matter and we think that we are actually and we develop attachments to the material world. Although factually, there's nothing actually going on. It's all a dream state of consciousness. So Purujan Prabhu is explaining that the nature of the Maya is so powerful that the jivas in the material world even become attached to suffering. They even enjoy suffering. Right? They even enjoy anxiety. Right? They've got to have it in their lives. And you see materialistic people in their illusion or their Maya or their that kind of state of consciousness, they actually put themselves, you know, if there's no anxiety or if there's no problem or if there's nothing going on, there's no disturbance, then they create one. Right? Some people are just like that. Right? Sometimes you'll see between husbands and wives. Right? You're going out to sell books or something. You're doing book distribution. And you can see that the husband and wife, you know, there's nothing going on. But then one of them will just start annoying the other one purposefully. Right? Because they're attached. Right? Oh, what's going on? Everything's peaceful. Right? But they're attached. They're so conditioned to having disturbance and anxiety in the material world that they create it voluntarily. Right? And we become attached to the rasa, which is enjoyed through that. Right? That is the illusion of a living entity in the material world. So therefore, although we're supposed to be in the Vaikuntha atmosphere of the spiritual world, we're supposed to be with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, just enjoying unlimitedly with Krishna and the other devotees there. But still, we become so attached to the material world that even when we get close to surrendering to Krishna and becoming Krishna conscious, we still maintain our material attachments to the material world and find it very difficult to give these things up. Although, factually speaking, there's no real pleasure in our material attachments. So here it says, everything in the spiritual world is Sach Chid Ananda Vigraha, which means everything is full of eternality, knowledge and bliss. Right? This word Chit, just like in the Brahma Samhita it says Chintamani. What does Chintamani mean? What's that? Conscious, yeah. Thought conscious. Right? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says thought conscious. Mani. Mani means jewel. Right? And chinta or chit means consciousness. So it is described in the Brahma Samhita that everything in the spiritual world is conscious. Right? Chintamani means that even the stones on the ground are conscious in the spiritual world. It is described in the spiritual world, just like if you go to Braj in this earthly realm, we see there's like dust, earth covering the ground. But it says in Goloka Vrindavan, there's jewels covering the ground, rubies, diamonds, emeralds, sapphires, like that. That's what's covering the ground. And each one is thought conscious. Each one has consciousness. Each one is actually a devotee of Krishna. And they are in some kind of like a shantaras, which means they're neutral, means they don't actually do anything for Krishna, in the sense that they only let Krishna step on them. They don't actually do any service, they don't offer artis or, you know, do anything active. But they are conscious, they're devotees of Krishna, and the perfection of their existence is to see Krishna come towards them every day and place the dust from his lotus feet on their heads. And that is the purpose of their existence. And they're fully satisfied in their constitutional position or their swarup. So it is described here in these verses that the cloud, who is also a devotee, the cloud is rendering services to Krishna. Right? So it says the cloud showers flowers upon Krishna. This is very wonderful. That in the spiritual world, all these kind of wonderful occurrences can take place. Right? The clouds will shower flowers upon Krishna. You know, beautiful jasmine flowers or beautiful kanumba flowers or, you know, all sorts of beautiful scented flowers to shower down lightly on Krishna as he's walking across Govardhan Hill playing his flute. And then to shade him from the sun, because in Vrindavan it is described there are six seasons, right? There's autumn, winter, summer and spring, and then there is the monsoon season. And there are two summers, right? Just before, like if you go to India, just before monsoon, then there's an extremely hot, intense summer, right? Really hot summer. So there's that summer, the first summer, then there's monsoon, and then just after monsoon, the sun, it's still summer, it's still very hot, but it's a less intense summer than the first one. So these are the six seasons, the two summers and the monsoon season are included. So when it's very hot, when it's like the summer season, extremely intense, at that time, then the cloud, who is a devotee, the cloud comes over Krishna and then covers him, right? And the cloud can follow him wherever Krishna goes, right? The cloud can follow him and he can shade Krishna from the sun, and that's one of his services to Krishna. And then he can lightly drop flowers upon Krishna as well, Krishna and Balaram. And then it says that when Krishna plays his flute, then the cloud accompanies Krishna, right? There's no rain, but he just rumbles very softly in accompaniment. Just as Krishna is playing his flute very beautifully, then the cloud will just very softly rumble in the background to just create a perfect festival orchestra, orchestral kind of atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Just all for Krishna's pleasure and the pleasure of all the devotees in Vrindavan. So this is the wonderful description of Vrindavan. And it is so attractive and so pleasing. And by hearing these descriptions, it should develop a desire within our consciousness, within our heart, to go there. Right? But even still, we'll walk out of the temple room today and we'll become very attached to this material world. Right? And we'll desire to stay here. Right? And then, as the day goes on, gradually, thoughts of Krishna will possibly dissipate. Some days they dissipate, they become less and less and less. And we become more and more entangled in our attachments in the material world, thinking they're more important than becoming Krishna conscious. But the whole purpose of hearing and chanting about Krishna is that it purifies the consciousness. Srinvatam swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana frijantasto hyabhadrani vitunoti sukritsatam. So the Bhagavatam says that by hearing about Krishna, it is punya shravana kirtana. Right? It is very auspicious to hear about Krishna. Why? Krijantasto hyabhadrani vitunoti suhrit satam. Because from the heart, the abhadrani means the anattas, right? Or the impure things within the heart, They all become cleansed away by hearing about Krishna, by hearing about Krishna Katha, hearing and chanting about Krishna. So then Jiva Goswami makes the point that if the devotee has been practicing Krishna consciousness for some time, maybe for 15, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, like that. So he's been practicing for some time, but he is feeling that his attachment to Krishna is not increasing sufficiently enough. Jiva Goswami says then the hearing and chanting must be increased. And if the hearing and chanting is increased, the heart becomes purified of the remaining abhadrani, or the remaining material anathas or attachments. And then one can actually develop a taste or a ruchi for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So this is the process. So therefore, we have to absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting about Krishna. And as Madhava Maharaj was pointing out when he was here, you have to hear and chant those things which give you enthusiasm in your devotional service. Right? So whatever gives you enthusiasm, then you must hear and chant about that. It is the same. That's why Prabhupada says, Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and Krishna in the Rasa Leela is the same. Right? Because Krishna is the absolute truth. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. Right? Satchit Ananda Vigraha. So then whenever you hear a chant about Krishna, regardless of your hearing and chanting the Bhagavad Gita, or you're hearing the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, or the Krishna book, or the Chaitanya Charitamrita, or Nectar of Devotion, wherever you're hearing from, it is the same potency. Right? It has the same same internal potency and the same effect to purify the consciousness, to clear the heart from anathas. But you have to hear what gives you enthusiasm. Right? Whatever you get a taste from, then you should hear it, and hear it, and hear it, and chant, and chant, and chant. And just by continuous, kirtaniyaha sadahari, or hearing and chanting continuously, then the heart becomes purified gradually, like that. So if you get a taste for studying the Bhagavad Gita very deeply, then study it very deeply. Right? If that's where you're getting enthused, right? If that's inspiring you to give up your material attachments, then study it very deeply and give up those material attachments. And after some time, as David Ridaswami was pointing out when he was here a month ago or so, he was pointing out that when a devotee becomes more advanced, right, and Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur makes this comment also. Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur says when a devotee has been a devotee for 15 or 20 years, right, he was just making like an approximate time frame. It can happen sooner or later according to the particular devotee. But he said after a devotee has been a devotee for around about 15 or 20 years, then it is natural for the devotee to begin to want to understand more deeply the nature of Krishna's pastimes. And as David Marita Swami was pointing out, that when a devotee becomes more advanced and more free from anathas, what will carry him further is to actually hear about the pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? The more elevated pastimes of Krishna. Because the Chaitanya Charitamrita is very elevated subject matter. Speaking of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal mood towards Krishna, which is actually the mood of the gopis towards Krishna, Srimati Radharani towards Krishna. So this kind of hearing will enthuse a very advanced devotee, and it will also enthuse us. But it may not be exactly what we want to hear all the time right now. So therefore, whatever it is, but the point is one must hear and chant, hear and chant. And this is actually a symptom of advancement in spiritual life, that the devotee is enthusiastic to hear about Krishna. A devotee wants to come to Bhagavatam class. Right? A devotee is enthusiastic to come and hear about Krishna. That's the sign of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Not, oh, I will only come when this devotee speaks. Right? That doesn't show that you're actually developing a taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? The attitude of the devotee should be, whoever is speaking, we will come and we will listen. Why? Because it is Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And the devotee is speaking according to his realizations, the absolute truth. Right? Statements about the absolute truth. So therefore it is purifying to the consciousness. Of course everyone has their favourite speakers, that's natural. Right? Just like Prabhupada says, some devotees like sweet rice and some devotees like halwa. Right? That's natural. There's nothing wrong with that. You can't say, oh, you're wrong. Right? Halwa's the best. Right? You should like halwa, what's your problem? Right? Don't you understand the nature of the absolute truth? Right? So that is just preference. Prabhupada says that everyone is an individual and everyone will have their personal preference, right? So sometimes, okay, you like to hear a particular devotee speak on Bhagavatam. That's nice. There's nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't mean when someone else speaks that you don't come. Right? That means you haven't developed a taste to hear the Bhagavatam. Your attraction to hearing about Krishna is not strong enough. And that is a symptom of advancement in spiritual life. Right? It says in the Bhagavatam, Vasudev Kata Ruchi. You have a taste, whenever hearing and chanting about Krishna is going on, immediately you are enthusiastic to go there and hear. Right? And especially because Kartik is coming up. Right? Kartik is beginning in another 3 weeks or so. So you have to begin to prepare yourself for Kartik. Just like if you're running a marathon is 42 kilometers. Right? So, you know, if we, without any training, just go and enter into a marathon, right? Just like my brother a few years ago, he went into the triathlon down here in St Kilda, the St Kilda triathlon, right? Top athletes. Yeah, he's quite a fit, strong person, so he thought, you know, I'll go in there and see how I go. And he hadn't trained for it. Yeah, just went straight into the marathon. And he nearly killed himself. Because the first part of the triathlon is a 400 metre swim. Right? And you're swimming behind, you know, world-class athletes. So he's like, you know, pushing himself. And he nearly killed himself. And then he got out and he was like, oh, God. And then you got to run. Or, you know, get on your bike. Yeah, get on your bike and you got to ride for 20 kilometres. And, you know, and then he got off that and then you have to run for 5 kilometres. Right? So it doesn't work like that. Right? You can't just arrive, right, and expect to be prepared for a major event. Right? So Kartik is coming. We have to begin to prepare ourselves for Kartik. Right? We have to begin to purify our consciousness even before Kartik comes. Because Kartik is a very special time to make spiritual advancement. Right? The presiding deity of the month of Kartik is Srimati Radharani. Right? And she is the most merciful, Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, she is the personification of Krishna's compassion. So we know by observing devotional activities within Kartik, we know as devotees that there's something special which takes place within the Kartik month. Right? Spiritual advancement is easier and more accelerated within the Kartik month by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. So therefore devotees have to prepare themselves for that time. So it describes within the Kartik, what's it called? Kartik, I think there's another word in between. Kartik something Maham. Kartik Mahima Maham. Could be, I can't remember. It's Kartik Mahamya. It might just be Kartik Mahamya. It's described in that book that one of the items in Kartik which is very recommended is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And it actually recommends there, if there is an assembly of Vaishnavas during the month of Kartik who are sitting somewhere speaking Bhagavad Gita, then one should immediately go, drop all other priorities or activities, and one should immediately go and sit in that assembly and hear. Right? Because you'll get you'll make a lot of advancement by performing extra devotional service in Kartik. So Kartik comes, and then devotees, they like to increase their hearing and chanting. Right? Doesn't mean that you don't do your other services, but it means that you reduce the time that you usually waste during the rest of the year. Because if we look at our day on a day-to-day basis, we see that all of us do waste time. You know, there is time which is idle that we could use more productively. So in between, when you're doing your other services, then you increase your hearing and chanting, right, during the Kartik month. And you get special benefit. You feel great acceleration in your purification. You get a lot of mercy, and it very much pleases Radha and Krishna and Gaur Nitai, and you get their special mercy, and you're able to make practical advancement like that. So here it is described that Krishna is playing the flute. He's on the side of Govardhan Hill, and he has the cloud is above him, showering flowers upon him. And in the previous verse, it describes that he was wearing Tulsi garlands. Right? And Tulsi is also another, if you look at the Rupa Goswami's list of 64 items of bhakti within the Nectar of Devotion, worship of sacred trees like Tulsi and the banyan tree and so forth is one of the items of bhakti. Right? So Tulsi Devi, to worship her and give special respect to her is a very beneficial activity in devotional service. And it is described that by circumambulation of Tulsi, by worshipping Tulsi, by offering water to Tulsi, by bowing down before Tulsi, by praying to Tulsi, by offering prayers to Tulsi. There's about 10 different items which are given in terms of how we can serve Tulsi. In this way, this is one of the most powerful ways to increase our attachment to Krishna. She's extremely merciful and purifying, and she will accept our service and gradually elevate and purify us so that we can become more eligible to serve Krishna even in a more direct way in the future. That's why she appears in the material world. And Prabhupada has made it a part of our morning program every day that there is Tulsi Puja. Right? That to worship Tulsi is a great item of devotion. Because if you can please her, then surely you'll be able to please Krishna. That is the system in spiritual life. It is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the pastimes of Haridas Thakur, Namacharya Haridas Thakur was chanting every day 300,000 names of Krishna, 3 lakhs every day. And it's described that while he was chanting, he was chanting in front of the Tulsi bush, right, in front of Tulsi. And Prabhupada points out there that if one chants in front of Tulsi, one's chanting becomes 1,000 times more powerful, or you get 1,000 times more benefit. So these are the kind of things that you need to know, because we need a bit of help in advancing the spiritual life. Right? It's not so easy to go back to Godhead. Anyway, any time past here. Huh? It's not like a really easy path. Actually, it is easy, but somehow or other we just have a unique ability to complicate everything along the way. Right? I don't know how we do it. We just have this innate ability, conditioned nature, to make the most simple things complicated and difficult. Right? So to go back to the spiritual world is easy. The path is very direct, but because it becomes difficult because of our own anattas, then we need to take shelter of those personalities and those things which will give us special mercy. Right? So worshipping Tulsi and chanting in front of Tulsi is especially powerful. Right? It gives great pleasure to Tulsi to hear the holy names being chanted sincerely, offenselessly in front of her. And she will give great benefit. When I was in Adelaide, when I was living there for a couple of years, and the part of my life, I was in my, if you know anything about astrology, I was in my Rahu Ketu period, which is, if you know anything about astrology, it's practically the worst time of your life, like that. So I was in Adelaide and I was just suffering. It's like the most difficult part of my time of my life. And I remember one period for about 5 or 6 weeks, Veda Priya went back to Melbourne, and I think she was the temple commander and the head pujari and a couple of other things, so she left. So then I was the head pujari, the temple commander, the temple president, the sankirtan leader, and the treasurer and a couple of other things. And then I also became the Tulsi pujari during that period, right? So every day I'd have to go out, and every day I had to go out and worship Tulsi, and as soon as Tulsi's presence, I practically perceived all my anxiety went away. Like I just felt soothed just being in her presence, right? And that is her power, that is her potency, because she is a pure devotee of Krishna. And she is very merciful to the Vaishnavas, like that. So by worshipping her and taking special benefit of times like Kartik, for example, Ekadashi, Janmashtami, by taking advantage and by taking very seriously the practice of devotional service in these times, right, then one will get special mercy. We need special mercy to advance in this day and age in Krishna consciousness. So we have to take advantage of these things. So here it is mentioned that Krishna is wearing Tulsi as he's walking across the hill, and it's a very effective atmosphere for all the residents of Vrindavan. That is our desire. We would also like to behold that scene. Right? We'd also like to go and see Krishna walking across the hill, playing his flute with the clouds, serving him in this way. This is the perfection of our life. So the mercy of Tulsi Devi, the mercy of Radharani and so forth, these things can become possible. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, sir.
You said at one point that one should study what inspired one. In character, does it have to be focused specifically on Krishna Dhammadhar Linda or on Prince Bhumi Linda?
should study what gives you inspiration. Because point in time, as Rupa Goswami describes, in terms of the nine steps of devotion, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti. So we're in Anatta Nivritti, right? That's just, all of us are in different stages of Anatta Nivritti, but that's the stage. So the whole point is to remove anattas, right? So therefore, the point is in Kartik, you should increase your hearing and chanting. That's the point. But you should hear and chant what will remove the anattas, like that. So if it is Bhagavad Gita, then, you know, do more Bhagavad Gita during Kartik. Maybe chant a chapter a day or something, you know. Or if you are getting inspired by reading Krishna book, then read Krishna book, like that. Prabhupada said that if the apple is ripe, then you can bite it from any side and it's sweet. So Prabhupada said you can pick up any of my books, right? It doesn't matter where you read, you'll just get nectar. Like that. So that's the nature of Prabhupada's book. But at the same time, then he also says, study categorically. So begin with Bhagavad Gita, then go to Srimad Bhagavatam, then go to Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's the system. Yeah, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma. Like that. So there was a system, Prabhupada says. And the reason that system there is because that system is established by Shukadeva Goswami himself. That's why he spoke first canto, second canto, third canto, fourth canto. And Prabhupada said, because we're studying second canto at the moment, the last few chapters that we've been studying, Prabhupada has just said again and again, you study separately. Bhagavatam must be studied categorically. Of course, you can pick it up and read it any day, any place, and you'll get benefit. But at some point in your life, you have to study it categorically to get the effect, which is removal of the anattas. And then Prabhupada says in the beginning, if you get to the end of the ninth canto and you've studied it and assimilated it properly, you'll be a God-realized soul. So that means when you hear the tenth canto, you'll realize Krishna. He won't be distant or unperceived. He'll actually be realized based on which is the goal. That's it. Is that it? Any other question or comment? We've been discussing this in our course recently, and we've discussed it quite a lot, and we've kind of been thinking about it a lot because it comes up again and again and again. Devotees always ask this question. And the realization we've been getting from studying is that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Prabhupada repeated it following in his guru's footsteps, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, don't try to see Krishna, act in a way that Krishna will want to see you. So if you just concentrate on that one point, that one instruction, you will see Krishna. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't serve, but serve in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. Like that. In other words, learn to serve without motivations, without interruption. If you serve nicely like that, then in due course of time you will see Krishna. Then you don't have to worry. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, don't worry about seeing Krishna. Like sometimes, you know, it's not wrong. It's not that it's wrong to want to go back to Godhead. You know, Prabhupada says in his purport, he called the magazine of our movement Back to Godhead. Right? And he says it all the time in his purport. It's going back home, back to Godhead. Nothing wrong with wanting to go home. Nothing wrong. But how to get there, that's the real point. So the real point is act in a way that Krishna will want to see you. Make him come here. Right, don't worry about going to Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna will come personally to you and pick you up and take you to Goloka Vrindavan. But he can only do that when we're qualified. When he sees, oh, this is such a nice devotee. Right, I can't live without this devotee anymore. Right, so any other questions or comments?
Interesting, talking about tossing. Interesting when I was some health workshops and now selling this Tulsi tea.
I want to be with you wherever you are in all of your incarnations. So then Radha and Krishna give the benediction to Vrindadevi. They say that wherever Krishna appears in a deity form, wherever he appears in any form, then you can appear as the Tulsi plant and then you can be offered to him in service. So that's the whole point of why Tulsi exists. She's not meant for any other purpose than to offer to Krishna. That's all she's for. So she should be used for that purpose. So, any other questions or comments? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.